You are about to warning. You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You made it to the weekend, little buddy. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, I'm awesome, Crudy. Happy Friday to you, Evan, on the board today, our fair audience. A third day of work for you this week, Crudy. That's a hell of a week for you, man. You're starting to get to my style.
Keeping salvia hours. Hey, buddy, there was a lot to talk about. We got to do some radioing today. Is that a job? We do radio in.
We're radioing. We're radioing all the time, baby.
Well, it's live, Devils, and it's also, and I know this is important to you, it's the last Friday of Summerfest, right?
Last weekend of Summerfest, yep. So I'll be down there tonight and tomorrow.
Doing your duty, partying like a rock star.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. And Santana on Sunday, dude. It's going to be a hell of a time. I'm starting right now.
So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sunday, fun day. Then.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
And back to work on Monday.
You know, the laborious ditch digging that we do here. So that'll be fun for you. You know who I bet didn't have a fun day? Pat Cipollone.
No, I don't know, man. Maybe the former White House counsel got a lot off his chest today.
Sort of a confessor kind of a day.
Right.
The former White House counsel was scheduled to give some videotape, some under oath, apparently under oath testimony, some transcribed testimony to the J6 committee. And that was supposed to happen today. And unfortunately, I don't think we're going to learn any of these specific details. Not today, but I'm hoping soon. Like Tuesday.
Tuesday, maybe some video. There is some reporting, a brief reporting, apparently, according to NBC News, as we found this on the Raw story, that Cipollone has been a cooperative witness today.
Cooperative.
Yes, cooperative. A cooperative witness within the parameters of his desire to protect executive privilege for the Office of General Counsel, which I can understand. There is an institution there. There is a reason to have some protection in that regard.
Well, talking about protection, Dom, apparently it ain't even safe to go out as a Supreme Court justice, you know, to an expensive steakhouse and, you know, make it all the way through dessert. Apparently the terrorists, the mob, have driven Kavanaugh out of one of his favored
dining
establishments.
Oh, no.
We'll get to that as well. Also, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, they've upheld the big lie in some weird sort of way. They banned ballot boxes. What? They banned
the ballot drop boxes. Yes.
Although they've never offered a scintilla of evidence that, you know, anyone committed fraud or anything actually changed. So the fact that people in absentia, you know, would actually deliver a ballot to a ballot drop box that apparently is now illegal, I tell you. And that kind of upholds the big lie, right? They're boxes full of
absentee ballots that maybe old people and perhaps disabled people might use. And I also wonder, because I used, as I voted early, I took my absentee ballot and I put it in the drop box, which is in the vestibule of the city hall / police department. And there is nobody there. There's not a clerk on site. While it's certainly, you know,
illegal. You voted illegally.
Is that now illegal?
It is. It is. According to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
That seems a little harsh.
A 4-3 ruling, Tom. Shocker. Yeah. The current makeup of the court, 4-3. four conservatives, three Democratic supported candidates. And I would point out that could all change next spring. Never too early to start talking about the judicial races.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, that is like the Dems better do their part. They better win back the Wisconsin Supreme Court, or it's going to be another decade of miserable governance. Just warning you. Anyways, that to look forward to in the spring. But a big show today, and of course, Friday's time, we air the grievances. And yours will not be our fine guest in hour number two, the happier happy hour. Oh, I guess he's coming at 5. I got the time wrong. James Santel.
Yes.
Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of the devil's, fine host of his own fine talk show. Saturday mornings, if you haven't caught on yet, stick around for the morning cannolis with Jim Santel, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturdays on both the Shaw and Devil Radio. Dom, so Jim Santel joins us at 5 Central Time. I've been confusing times, apparently.
I can see, man. It's been a stressful week for you, but the good news is we're coming to the end of it.
We're cruising into a block party weekend, says Dom. So anyways, let's get to it. The president also, an executive order. He's reinstituted Roe v. Wade through the stroke of a pen through executive fiat, Dom.
Not quite.
Well, what exactly did Joe Biden do? Do we know? We've got some sound. Let's start with the sound. Let's hear the president, your president, my president. Let's hear how Joe Biden describes his action. Going to need your help, of course, Evan. Let's start with cut number 10, President Biden on abortion. Play it.
This is a choice. This is a moment. The moment. A moment to restore the rights that have been taken away from us.
Okay. How are you going to do that, sir? Cut 11.
Consider the challenge accepted, court. But in the meantime, I'm signing this important executive order.
Which challenge does what accepted? Exactly? Did he just take off the glove and slap the Supreme Court with it?
A duel? He and Kavanaugh at 10 paces, Tom? I'd pick the drunk guy. If I was going to have a duel, I'd want the drunk guy.
You want to duel against the drunk guy?
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm going to have to duel against someone on the court. Right. Give me the drunkard.
Yeah, you're not taking the drunk. You're taking odds on the drunk. You'd rather fight against the drunk guy.
Gotcha. Yes. I would like to duel against you, beer-loving Kavanaugh. A little bit more here from the president. Abortion and urging the votes. Cut 12.
We need two additional pro-choice senators and a pro-choice House to codify Roe as federal law. Your vote can make that a reality.
Yes.
If you live in Wisconsin, or you live in Pennsylvania, or hell, if you live in Ohio, if you want to vote for Tim Ryan over J.D. Vance, who'd be a despicable choice from Ohio. But more importantly, I think the pickups for the Dems could very likely be Fetterman in Pennsylvania. And of course, you got to see who the nominee is here in the state of Wisconsin. But your buddy Ron Johnson, looking particularly vulnerable. We'll talk about that later in the big show as well.
And I just want to say, you know, the fact that, you know, Biden signed the executive order, maybe we'll get into some of that. And the fact he's using his bully pulpit to, you know, articulate specifically what this country is going to need in order to codify Roe v. Wade. I think it's very important, and I'm glad he's doing it.
Well, he did kind of slap the court. Let's get into the specific language from the president. Cut number lucky 13, if you would, Evan.
Let's be clear about something from the very start. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution. Let me say it again. This was not a decision driven by the Constitution.
No, it wasn't. More from President Biden. Cut 14, please.
The truth is, today's Supreme Court majority that is playing fast and loose with the facts.
Yes, and here comes the sort of the anyways, judge for yourself. Cut number 15. I was proud of Joe when he said this.
The majority has overruled Roe and Casey for one and only one reason, because it has always despised them, and now it has the votes to discard them, end of quote. So what we're witnessing wasn't a constitutional judgment. It was an exercise in raw political power.
Raw political power.
Wait, the Supreme Court's political? Wow, weird.
One more from Biden, at least for now. Play it for the people. Cut 16, please. The court will not protect your rights.
When you read the decision, the court has made clear It will not protect the rights of women. Period. Period. After having made the decision based on a reading of a document that was frozen in time in the 1860s, when women didn't even have the right to vote.
Actually, let's try to sneak in a little more sound from the president. Joe Biden, cut 19, please.
We cannot allow an out-of-control Supreme Court working in conjunction with extremist elements of the Republican Party to take away freedoms and our personal autonomy.
I tell you what, that's pretty newsworthy, what the president is saying there. I wish he was saying it a little more strongly, a little more forcefully, but the words he's using, the president, that's pretty damn strong stuff.
He doesn't need to bang the podium. He's saying it. He's the president. A couple more here. Let's do cut number 20, please.
I don't think the court, or for that matter, the Republicans who for decades have pushed the extreme agenda, have a clue about the power of American women. But they're about to find out, in my view.
Hallelujah, brother. Let's do one more. Cut 21, please.
What we're witnessing is a giant step backwards in much of our country.
A giant step backwards. So he's laid out the math. He's laid out the fact that the court is exercising political power, and he's laid out the fact that women are going to roll this thing through. It's going to take the women to show up. Of course, the men, too, as well.
Well, the executive order carries very little weight, Dom. We talked about that before you and I came on air. The order itself, very little there. But the more important thing, the president, he shows the way. He tells us, you got to win a couple of Senate seats. He should have said, hey, Wisconsin, you listen. Hey, Pennsylvania. Hey, Ohio. There's some very important races. If you do the right thing, women may actually get their rights back. But the failure to do so, a guy like Ron Johnson gets to stay in his job?
Oh, come on, man. What I did not hear, and I would have liked to have heard, what about expanding the court, President Biden?
Well, first you need to win a couple of more senatorial seats, because you ain't doing that with Joe Manchin.
Well, he already said you need to win a couple of senatorial seats in order to codify Roe v. Wade. Why not bring up the fact that wasn't it his own blue ribbon committee that suggested perhaps expanding the court?
Hey, man, he's just got to promise not to get in the way of the expansion of the court. Know what I mean? Leave that to Senator Fetterman and perhaps Senator Barnes, or we'll see. Godlewski, Lazary, Nelson, we'll see. More Devils. We'll be right back.
The only thing we have to fear is...
Go get him!
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived in Philadelphia. Local time is 3:05 p.m. and the temperature is 67 degrees. At this time, you are now free to use your cellular devices.
You know that feeling when you get to turn your phone on after the plane lands? You can have that feeling every time you drive. Make sure your cell phone is stowed away whenever you are behind the wheel.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We air the grievances on Friday. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
You know who's probably feeling just a little butthurt today? Brett Kavanaugh, man.
Yeah.
If Fancy Brian were here, I got to tell you, I think he would probably be a little empathetic. No one better interrupt dinner, man. You know, dinner is an important meal. One of the four most important meals of the day. One of the four most important. He said.
Four. Mountain Dew and chewing tobacco doesn't count, Crudy.
Come on, man. Don't tell all my secrets. Alexandria Petrie had a little column over at the Washington Post today.
A little snarky Kavanaugh. Column, I think.
Yeah, it's a little snark. We like the snark.
Yeah, we do.
Petrie apparently noticed that Kavanaugh got interrupted by some protesters out at Morton's last night. And she starts the column actually with a statement from the management down at Morton's. Here's what they said. Politics, regardless of your side or views, should not trample the freedom at play of the right to congregate and eat dinner.
What?
Yeah, we should have the right
to congregate and eat dinner at Morton's?
Yeah.
Is that like the right to assemble and redress the government for your grievances?
Nearly so. Let me continue from the management at Morton's. Understand, there was the protest there last night. There is a time and a place for everything. Disturbing the dinner of all of our customers was an act of selfishness and void of decency. Have you no decency, sir?
Apparently none.
I paid for medium well here. Does this look medium well? Anyways, so
you can see the mark where the jockey was hitting it. let me jump in here, Crudy.
Yeah,
Alexandra Petrie, she starts. Oh, this is embarrassing. The right to congregate and eat dinner is actually not found anywhere in the Constitution. I've been studying the Constitution very carefully, including the emanations of the penumbras, and I see why people might think there was some inherent right to eat dinner. Eating seems so fundamental. Whether or not you want to have steak inside yourself seems like something you ought to be able to determine on your own behalf. Eating and chewing alone or in the company of others feels as though it ought to be up to the person most affected and protected from abridgment of any kind, even by the states. But actually, there is a higher authority to whom we must answer on this question. The Bible, technically not the Constitution, but there are people working to fix that. The Bible relates that Adam and Eve ate dinner once in public, and this was such a grave offense that they were kicked out of their home immediately and hassled with flaming swords. Mankind was then forced to develop farming and wear pants.
I know, that's really not been a great development. I'm not a big fan of pants.
No, nor I. Crudy, God was very clear on the subject. Dinner is a sin. How could there possibly be a right to it? Jesus ate a nice dinner with 12 friends upstairs in a restaurant one time, and he was sent to die in a horrible manner. He who eats dinner will get his desserts afterwards.
You want me to pick up your
if you'd like to.
Someone has to do a better job than that. Come on, man. We're being snarky here. Work some snarking. Some argued that even if this was made any theological sense, theology should not hold sway in governance of our country, where there is, or at any rate used to be, something called the Establishment Clause that separates church and state. To this, the Supreme Court responds, "You've hit adulthood, and you still believe in the Establishment Clause?" Besides, it is not merely the Bible that suggests you have no right to dinner and are naive and wrong to think that you do. Why did the philosopher Pythagoras believe that fava beans contain souls and therefore avoid eating them at all cost? And where are fava beans served but at dinner? Lunches and dinners, I suppose, but if you are creative, but that is not very originalist. The fava beans. Is that what
he ate his brain with fava beans and a fine Chianti, I believe. Or his liver. I'm not sure.
Can we update our thinking on this point at all, given that Pythagoras was operating in the 6th century BC and the bean thing sounds made up? No, tradition is the bedrock of all jurisprudence. To those who would suggest that we evolve or that we not impose our religious or leguminous beliefs on others, I say, heretic, torches quickly. I understand that this may all seem counterintuitive to Justice Kavanaugh. As a person who lives in the present time and is accustomed to thinking of himself as an entirely entitled to respect and endowed with the power to make choices for himself and his family. Yeah, that's what one would think, right?
One would think that, yes.
Dom, he might want his old freedom back or ask for someone to escort him through the gauntlet of protesters who want him to feel bad about his choices, which, after all, don't affect anyone other than millions of people whose lives are going to be fundamentally changed and whom he is co-signing to the status lower than that of a full person with bodily autonomy and the right to direct their lives that this entails. He might say, and I quote here from the Starkey column of Alexandria Petrie, "This is a horrible constraint to put on me. I am just trying to live my life with my family according to my own lights. I just want to have dinner like a person. And she writes, and I sympathize. I would love to find that this was a right, but there is no right, however seemingly basic, that cannot vanish away like a ghostly mist in the second someone remembers that there might be a medieval text somewhere out there that disagrees. And the Bible and the beans. I'm sorry. My hands are tied.
Wonderful.
A little snarky.
Very snarky, but spot on. Alexandria.
You know, that's Tom Petrie's
Alexandra
daughter.
Petrie.
I get confused. You know, me and the names. And her dad was a congressman from the great state of Wisconsin. We had him on the show. How did we pronounce it then, Tom?
Petrie.
That's a good Petrie. Come back. Or Devil's Advocates.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happy hour style, 844-967-2789. That's the number you need to call us and be a part. Air your grievances here. And Dom, I know we talked about the Supreme Court decision, the state of Wisconsin, to overturn the use of ballot drop boxes. It seems illogical. I don't know how we're going to banter about, you know, like, what's the right side of this decision. It's just asinine. It's making it harder for people to vote. But I did see this little missive coming over from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's office. Senators Johnson and Grassley, you know, the old guy from Iowa, to AG Merrick Garland, Director Ray, and the U.S. Attorney Weiss, Hunter Biden's apparent criminal behavior must be thoroughly investigated. Now, Dom, I saw you tweeting on this very subject earlier today. Yes, they are talking about the alleged paying of the escorts by Hunter Biden.
And I don't have the sound. I didn't get over to Evan in time today. But yes, there's literally, as we tweeted out on our Twitter feed at Devil Radio, make sure you check it out, retweeted Ron Johnson specifically stammering and stuttering about Hunter Biden and his pain for the escorts and the sex operation. I mean, he's just all over the place trying and you know, saying all this QAnon stuff. And it struck me that when we interviewed and we've interviewed Ron Johnson many times. And one particular time was right around the time that was known that President Trump paid off Stormy Daniels. And we asked,
you mean the porn star that he allegedly raw dogged that looks a lot like his daughter Ivanka?
Yes,
Stormy Daniels.
We've seen the signed checks. So if you believe Trump, he paid to not have sex with Stormy Daniels. But of course, that's not the big deal. The issue was at the time the campaign violation. I was done to keep her quiet during a campaign. You can't do those kinds of things. And in fact, his fixer, Michael Cohen, went to jail for that. And Ron didn't want to touch that topic with a 10-foot pole on our show at the time. Oh, I see nothing. I know nothing. Remember, he pulled out. He's a Sergeant Schultz. He was all proud of it. Well, here he is, you know, just shouting it from the rooftops. Oh, Hunter Biden, sex with escorts, a sex operation, a sex scandal. Do you think that the subject matter hasn't changed? But the targets of those engaged in that behavior have. You think that had any play on why Ron's on it now?
Well, Ron's been a target of his own investigations of late, handing off the fraudulent electors to Pence, or at least endeavoring to do so. But here is the latest from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's office. On Thursday, U.S. Senator Ron Rojo Johnson, Republican from Wisconsin, ranking member of the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations, and U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, ranking member of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland, Federal Bureau of Investigation FBI Director Christopher Wray, and United States Attorney for the District of Delaware, because that's where Hunter Biden was living, right? David Weiss demanding a thorough investigation of Hunter Biden's potentially criminal behavior. When did senators become law enforcement officers? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Everyone has the potential to engage in criminal behavior. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, he literally used potential crimes when he was going on his little rant the other day. So they're always trying to qualify. Oh, there's potentially. Yeah, no doubt. And I've got to tell you, Ron Johnson, I'm not clear that I'd be sticking my hand up trying to get attention of the FBI and Merrick Garland, since you were the one engaged in trying to what? Hustle some fraudulent electors to Pence. You might want to keep your head down on these issues, son.
Well, specifically, they're quoting the Washington Examiner that published Hunter Biden's text messages apparently showing him discussing payment for escorts associated with the company, which at one time had locations in Russia and Ukraine. Well, they've got him dead to rights then, Tom. In 2020, based on records in their possession, the senators reported, and here's the quote from Rojo and Grassley, Hunter Biden paid non-resident women in the United States who are citizens of Russia and Ukraine, and that some transactions are linked to what appears to be an Eastern European prostitution or human trafficking ring. You think they're really worried about the victims?
What appears to be and potentially, you see what I'm saying, man? Yeah, it appears to be and potentially could be all sorts of things.
Well, there's more. There's more, Tom.
But wait, there's more.
In the letter to the Department of Justice and the FBI, the senators wrote, rather than take these disturbing revelations seriously, the partisan press quickly rushed to dispel any notion of potential wrongdoing connected to Hunter Biden. The senators added, these findings of potentially criminal behavior must be thoroughly investigated. You know, like you investigated the Stormy thing, right? Thoroughly investigated by law enforcement entities according to the highest ethical standards. Yet, due to your agency's continued failure to provide Congress with answers to legitimate oversight questions, like everyone trying to stonewall the J6 committee. But anyways,
you know, legitimate oversight question is the fact that your guy, Donald Trump, paid off Stormy Daniels, there's payment for sex, actually not for sex, to shut her up during a campaign. How was that? And when addressing that, he gave me the eye. I know nothing. And now it's imperative we get to the bottom of the Hunter Biden paid escort issue.
Yet, due to your agency's continued failure to provide Congress with answers to its legitimate oversight questions, we have serious concerns about your review of this matter, as well as the ongoing Hunter Biden criminal case. If you keep saying it, does it make it true? Is that the thing? Let's keep putting it out there. It
will understanding, him. Isn't there a DOJ investigation ongoing into Hunter Biden? I believe that's accurate.
Well, here is what they say in finality of this little press missive, you know, to let us know that they're trying to hold Merrick Garland's feet to
they're on the case.
As a result of the DOJ's failure to be transparent with Congress about taking necessary steps to avoid conflicts with respect to Hunter Biden's criminal case, the Senators asked, what is the Justice Department trying to hide from Congress and the American people? Unironically, they ask, right?
Oh, yep. I mean, these are the, you know, these are the gaslight kings, man. I mean, let's just put it that way. I mean, it's just what it is. You know, when it's their folks, no big deal, nothing to see.
You know what their source is, though? I mean, really,
the Washington Examiner.
The Washington Examiner
piece. Well, I mean, if they got copies of if they're publishing claimed text messages from Hunter Biden, I mean, I don't know if that's their case. I mean, presumably it's accurate.
Do you think they're as inquisitive about the, you know, reported and printed text messages from Matt Gaetz, Venmo, and the college girls? You know what I'm saying? The tuition party money.
Yeah, the underage sex trafficking right here in the states of American citizens, 17 years old at the time, which his wingman is now cooperating with Justice Department officials on. You mean that issue? That, nothing to say about Matt Gaetz, but, you know, an actually elected official. But, hell, Hunter Biden, you got to stay focused on the opposition. See, that's really what it's all about.
And they're called projecting. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, you call us to talk about Hunter Biden's emails.
Hey, Paulie.
Not really, but hey, maybe Johnson wants to be on the VP Trump this time around. Trump Johnson, I don't know.
Rojo, you think Rojo's angling for a VP slot? Well,
no, absolutely. That's where he's going for. And hey, I'm gonna happy Friday, by the way. Hey, I gotta have a quick grievance here, and that's the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They laid gerrymandering down on me, and now you can't even have drop boxes. I mean, how much worse can it get with these people? Hey, just please go out and vote in the April election. When's the election coming down for the next Supreme Court justice?
April of 2023. Paul, that is the determinant. I'm sorry, but you don't have a great phone line today. But the determinant election in the state of Wisconsin will be in April of 2023. There'll be a February primary, and I believe it's Everett Mitchell right now that has declared, and he would be deemed a liberal, I guess. And then I'm gonna hold my breath and try on this one. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, or which, I forget which. Janet Protasiewicz. I've been trying really hard to get her name properly. Judge Janet. And she was introduced to me by Justice Rebecca Dallet. So she keeps pretty good company. And she liked Judge Janet quite a bit. She knew how to say the name better than I. Right. And those two are in from quote-unquote the liberal side. And then right now it looks like Dan Kelly, the former Walker appointee to the Supreme Court, tried to make him an incumbent, and he got his ass handed to him. You recall that guy, Dan Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
All indications are he's running as a conservative. So you're going to have a primary because they don't actually line them up as Dems and Republicans. It's the top two vote getters. So you'll have a primary in February about the second Tuesday in February. And then you'll have the spring election, Paul. And the April 2023 spring election will be determinant possibly for the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Because right now it's 4-3. And, you know, you can say you can commend the judicial independence of Brian Hagedorn. I mean, today he really swung with the two rulings. The ruling he was with the conservatives on is that ballot boxes are illegal, which is ridiculous, but he ruled with the big lie conservative branch of the court. And then he turned around and strangely, because it kind of contradicts a prior ruling of the same court, he said that Dane County public health officials do not need the reinforcement of elected officials to put a mask mandate in place. So the very same conservative former Scott Walker attorney that was a Supreme Court elected by about 5,600 votes, it was a very narrow margin. Every election comes down to a flip of a coin in the state of Wisconsin. But he has shown a little judicial independence. But, you know, ultimately on the partisan stuff, he's still a Republican, man. And we need, you know, 4-3. And then, you know, occasionally Hagedorn can join the liberals and make it a 5-2 majority.
Right,
wouldn't that be swell?
That would be swell.
So April 2023. You know, we got to get through the August 9th primary. We got to pick a Democratic senatorial choice to oppose Ron Johnson. And I see our boy Mandela raised $2.1 million in the quarter. I haven't seen the other guys out there, you know, letting out their fundraising numbers. So that means either Mandela exceeded the other candidates in the race, which is very likely. 2.1 million in that crowded field, that's a lot of jing. Or the multimillionaire self-funding candidates are trying to peg how much money they needed to put in their own campaigns.
Liquidate some assets to throw it into their campaign.
Call the broker. Hey, right. Sell, sell, sell.
Wait, buy.
I forget which it is. But anyways, I would think by this afternoon, we're going to see more of the second quarter fundraising numbers come out. Mandela sort of set the benchmark, 2.1 million in a 3-month period. That's a lot of jing.
That's a lot of money. And he's not self-funding.
I wouldn't imagine.
844-967-2789. We only got like a minute left in this. All right, callers, be patient. We will come back to you. Crudy, I appreciate you laying out the timeline and laying out the math just like President Biden did today. Quick update along the news feeds. Elon Musk apparently backing out of the Twitter deal? Question mark?
He's got a couple more mouths to feed with the executive down at Tesla, right? I thought he was a married man. Those libertarians, they're very
I don't think it was Tesla. I think it was like some other division, artificial intelligence or something along those lines. But
Works in the other division. Yeah. So when the richest man on earth and the owner of the company has sex with her, I'm sure
that's nine kids. I think it's being reported now. Nine. They can afford it, I guess.
Makes it tough on names. They got strange names over there, like Dominic. Come back, more Devils.
The staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Your thoughts, your grievances, always welcome on a Friday at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'd like to think we're a couple of working stiffs around here. Especially Evan. He actually works for a living. The rest of us.
Yeah. Thank you, Evan. You're pressing all the right buttons, baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's more than I can say.
I've heard that.
If Elon Musk doesn't go through with the Twitter deal, and apparently it's being reported widely, he's backing out. And there's like a $1 billion breakup fee, but that's still cheaper than probably his child support payments on the kids. I mean, if he's up to nine kids, can you imagine what the... You know, in Wisconsin, it's like 18% for the first kid, 25. It goes up to 36. I mean, this guy could be in for $70 billion a year.
You don't need wages when you have wealth, man. So good luck on that.
Yes, yes. You make a valid point. In other words, he'll never pay. Kind of like his taxes, right?
Only the suckers pay taxes, Curdy. Haven't you learned anything?
But that means that Trump will not be reunited with his Twitter followers.
Oh, I didn't think of that part of it. Oh, darn. Well, the good news is he's got the Truthy Social, so we're good to go.
844-967-2789. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, it's at Devil Radio.
Can't hit Trump up.
Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, Matt McNeil was, hey guys, Matt McNeil was lighting up Rebecca Dallet for her and main comments on the whole Dropbox thing, you know, accusing of, you know, the fraudulent votes that are going into those Dropboxes, you know, offering absolutely no evidence.
It's not Dallet. It's not Dallet, Mark.
No, Bradley. Rebecca Dallet. I'm sorry, Rebecca Dallet. Yeah. Rebecca Bradley. Yeah, but he was lighting her up and just. It is just ridiculous that, I mean, Republicans used before these drop boxes not all that long ago. I mean, they Republicans used before mail-in.
Well, weren't they the ones that instituted this under their governance? They passed it legislatively and Walker signed it? Maybe my memory gets fuzzy on the point, but I thought they were Republican drop boxes.
Well, we've used them for years. It wasn't a big deal, Mark, until, you know, Trump got in and was a terrible candidate and lost. And it became part of the justification for the stop the steal and fraud claims.
And I have no sympathy at all for you know, Justice Beerbong, you know, that how many, you know, that... It is just, you know, that I don't care if any of those conservative justices eat another meal in peace as long as they live.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
nothing in the Constitution said they're not supposed to, you could eat a meal in peace, but there's nothing in the Constitution dictates that we're supposed to have intermarriage of religion and state. I mean, that this whole thing on the...
No, actually, I'm pretty sure they were against that, Mark.
They were against it. I mean, that Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptist Church, because the Baptists were concerned they were being oppressed by the Congregationalists. I mean, these people don't seem to understand that the first groups that were really made Christmas illegal in this country were the Puritans of New England, for God's sake.
Mark, your history exceeds my knowledge, so I'm going to cut you off there.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it as always, man.
Well, when you start showing up the host, then, you know, it gets embarrassing.
Come on,
for
man.
The host.
But I mean, there is, that's the point I think Mark is making. That, you know, these religious zealots, they don't get it. They don't get it. Or they do get it and they don't care because they want everyone like Marjorie Taylor Greene to live under some version of the Bible that only they understand.
I just thought Mark was clearly trying to demonstrate that he was smarter and better read than Crudy.
I'm probably smarter and better read than both of us.
844. Probably.
Maybe.
844-967-2789. It's our pal T-Bone from Milwaukee. How you doing, PT?
Hey, PT.
All right. How are you guys?
Awesome, man. Dude.
It's Friday. We made it.
Yeah. You know, I just turned on the radio in the car and boom, this guy from Minnesota comes on the radio on your station. I was like, well, who's that guy?
That's Matt McNeil. The Matt McNeil Show.
Oh my God. You got to have him on more often. Maybe it's a regular thing though. I just didn't have
It's a daily thing, PT. Where you been? It's been like 3-4 days now, man.
3-4 days. Where you been, man?
You should have known by Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm very busy without that. Anyway, I just loved his rhetoric and the way he railed on radical Rebecca Bradley. It was just perfect and it made my day. So he's on 3 to 4, is that right?
That's correct. And we always love when you compliment other radio shows on this one, PT. You got any others you'd like to compliment or acknowledge?
Well, yeah, you guys are doing pretty good too, you know?
hey, man, thanks for the vote of confidence, PT.
Anyways, yeah, he was real refreshing and woke me up like, what? Wait, what? This isn't crude and dumb. This is like... And then I tried to call in, and you can't call in there or whatever. But
you just got to learn the number. You got to listen closer. It's just not in your speed dial like we are, PT.
Yeah, but he was spot on in terms of his analysis for Rebecca Bradley. Wow. And you should get into that opinion on her in her ruling. It was just bizarre. Just bizarre. At least, anyways. Hey. Guys, have a great weekend, okay?
Thanks, PT.
You too,
man. I think we will get into that. Our good friend, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us at the top of the hour. And I know this is a topic that he wants to discuss. So perhaps we will get into some of the details of the craziness of those right-wing Wisconsin justices.
When did we start letting the guests set the topics around here?
Come on, man. He's a former U.S. attorney. This is national news right now from the state of Wisconsin.
I can tell you from personal experience, when you start letting the guest react to the topics without boundaries, it can get ugly up in here.
We don't need any boundaries.
Yeah, that's what I thought on Fox News.
They invite you back yet?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. Okay. All right.
It hasn't been quite a month yet.
Yeah, so you can give them a couple more weeks.
Couple more. Should I call them? Hey, yeah. Did you lose my number? Got anything you want to talk about? Here, gas prices are coming down. Want to talk about that?
Gas prices are coming down. Employment, another what? Almost 400,000 jobs. Going to make the Fed's job a little tighter. So probably going to have more higher interest rates. But you know, I'm sure the Republicans will hope for doom and gloom between now and the midterms.
Well, Dom, I feel quite confident. I will get invited back on Foxy News to discuss the oh-so-important topic
of Hunter Biden
hiring escorts from other countries, man.
What?
Nothing more important to America's future than, you know, whether or not Hunter Biden had sex.
Is there a statute of limitations on paying for sex?
Well, I don't know. That'd be very relevant, considering the prior rumors about the former president and his time spent... I think it was the 2013 Miss Universe contest. Look it up.
Allegedly.
Hour 2 is next.
Knock that off, you do. It's time for church.